We now begin our discussion items, and we begin with item H, the Judicial Branch Administration California State Auditor Report, Procurement Practices for the AOC, our Staff Administrative Office of the Courts. I understand Justice Huffman is not calling in, so I ask Mr. John Judnick, AOC Internal Audit Services, Mark Desmond, AOC Information Technology Services Office, and Kurt Soderlund to the presentation panel.
Good morning, Chief, Council members. I'm here to report on the California State Auditor's Report entitled Judicial Branch Procurement. Semiannual reports to the legislature are of limited usefulness. Information systems have weak controls, and certain improvements in procurement practices are needed. Very lengthy title. On December 19th of 2013, the California State Auditor issued their audit report on judicial branch contract and procurement. The audit report covered seven objectives, but I'll kind of summarize those into three objectives. The first was procurement processes and contract compliance with the Judicial Branch Contracting Manual for the Supreme Court, the Courts of Appeal, the AOC, and the Habeas Corpus Resource Center. Second, they reviewed the accuracy and completeness of the semi-annual report to the legislature and to the state auditor on contracts. On February 1st, under circulating order, issued the fifth semi-annual report to the legislature and the state auditor. Third, they reviewed general information system controls and limited specific application controls for the Phoenix financial system used by the trial courts and the AOC's Oracle financial system. They are used in the procurement process, and so in testing the semi-annual report, they tested the system controls of those systems that generate the semi-annual report. Those systems were reviewed to determine the reliability of data used in the semi-annual report and other reports that were provided to the state auditor. The report results were that the AOC, as well as the eight other judicial branch entities tested, and generally complied with the judicial contract law's requirements and the judicial branch contracting manual. But there was a need to improve certain practices and ensure that staff dealing with procurements are trained in the proper procedures and documentation, such as utilizing competitive bids, evaluating bids correctly, and documenting sole source procurements. The results from this audit are very similar to the previous audit report that was issued earlier last year on six pilot courts. And in that audit report, similar to this one, there were not very many issues concerning contracting and procurement. The state auditor tested 125 procurements and contracts, 110 payments on those contracts. They were tested from a population of approximately 2,200 procurements with a value of almost $300 million for a 12-month period ending April 30th, 2013. I don't think it is unreasonable to state that the procurement process and contracts within the judicial branch, based upon these two audit reports and previous audit reports, are not good and generally compliant with policies and procedures in the contracting manual. The attachment that you have to the council report identifies 26 recommendations that the state auditor made in its audit report. Out of those 26 recommendations, at least in the opinion of, in my opinion, in the summary that I've prepared, we have completed 13 of those for the other judicial branch entities, and eight at the AOC, with four incomplete and one based upon statutory change. I'd like to point out, at least on that first summary page, that the Third District Court of Appeal had no issues identified in the audit report. and the other judicial branch entities had two or three, all considered, in my opinion, very minor compared with the total number of contracts and procurements and payments that they tested. Within the recommendations and the report itself, I'd like to point out the fact that for one of the recommendations, it deals with the semi-annual report, requiring us to put that on the our website on an Excel format basis so it can be reviewed, and we have done that. They are also recommending statutory change, as I indicated earlier, and have proposed and introduced Bill AB 1773 that was read the other day. And in our opinion, when we were requested to review this, we provided a couple of comments. First, I think as Mr. Sutherland made comment subsequently, we are in general compliance with the existing statute concerning the semi-annual report. They're requesting additional data to be provided. They're also recommending certain changes. In our review, when we responded to this report, we are indicating, and it's also in our response, that our initial evaluation for the purchase of system modules for both Phoenix and Oracle and for the implementation just of those modules, the cost from a few years ago when they were estimated is in excess of $1 million. This does not include the cost for the superior courts to enter data if this statute is passed. It is a significant cost. There are other issues in the recommendations. I won't go through all of them, but we are in the process of correcting those, but it will take some time. Additionally, the state auditor's report identified a confidential non-public management letter, and there are also additional letters that were issued to superior courts, but this particular letter issued to the AOC and certain superior courts based upon their testing in the systems area. As I discussed earlier, they test the systems that are used to produce the semi-annual report and other reports. These letters are issued in this way because the state auditor believes that there are the weaknesses that they've identified are sensitive and could compromise the security and availability of information systems. The system issues that they identified have concerns about policies and procedures, system security access, and other general system controls that we're currently working on. The AOC has already, as identified in our response to their report, produced guidance for the Superior Courts, and we have issued that to assist them in correcting some of the issues that the state auditor has identified. The work that is being done now is to ensure that we have controls throughout the system, and that work will go on through the end of December. With respect to the semi-annual report, the state auditor did report in its title that the semi-annual report is of limited usefulness. The basis of that decision by them is that the, and I'm quoting their report, that the semi-annual report prepared had limited usefulness to decision makers and other users due to its size and the electronic format that does not allow users to quickly and effectively locate certain issues and information. This is really not an issue of data reliability. It's more an issue of usefulness of the report in terms of any potential users and their access to that report and information. The report by the state auditor consistently discussed in the systems area in its report the fact that we could do certain things and the issues are more of a prospective nature. Again, we are correcting those issues. The report and the responses, we will continuously, during the course of the year, respond to the state auditor in their 66-month and one-year process, and we will try to ensure that we get that done as quickly as possible. Kurt?
Thank you, John. Actually, the bill, I think, is 1733. That was introduced yesterday.
And 1773.
Oh. My mistake. Must be my glasses that I'm trying to get used to here. And as mentioned before, that we have already formed a strike team that we will generate in response to the issues that were identified by the CSA. That work is underway right now. We have formulated a schedule with milestones and a strategic plan in order to address those concerns. As John indicated, the changes in data that they're requesting are not inconsequential in terms of the costs going forward, not only for the AOC, as John mentioned, but also for the trial courts. You can please recall that all courts on the system for Phoenix Financial, as an example, but there are other systems that are, if you will, court-specific and are not part of the network. And so those concerns would be translated to the local level also. Again, we're moving forward in terms of making corrections, as John had indicated. We've already sent out statewide memos to all the court execs and the information officers and HR staff to put those corrections in place. I think John really covered almost everything.
Thank you. Justice Hall.
Thank you, Chief. Just an observation first and then a question. The observation being that as to the Third District Court of Appeal audit, I take personal credit for that outcome. In fact, I didn't know there had been an audit until about a week ago. On a more serious note, the comments regarding recommendations 3 and 4 and the materials that we have, in effect, say we can't do that unless we find $1 million plus additional costs. Where does that leave us? I mean, what do they expect of us at this point? Find it?
When asked, they had indicated that they would send a letter to a management letter to select members of the legislature about their proposed legislation and to encourage them to fund on the general fund the dollars to do this.
Thank you.
And they're aware that last year of the 63, in current fiscal year, of the $63 million, $60 million to the trial courts, $3 million to the Habeas Corpus Resource Center and the Supreme Court and the Court of Appeal, no additional money was added to the AOC baseline budget?
They were informed of that, yes, Chief.
And recall, in prior years, we had tried to get some additional funding for technology to move towards some of these objectives, and those technology requests were turned down.
Judge Ellsworth?
And again, we're back to the comments on the other piece that we were talking about. It's a resource issue, and this wasn't even contemplated. And the message we took around yesterday in terms of the amount that it takes us to get going. So, I mean, I think it's very important that we do, just like in everything, supplemental information out there that says, you know what, this bill's here, and if this goes through, we do, money has to accompany that. Because the resources without that, what are we going to really take from? You're going to be deciding now whether one of these nice courts that you both reported on are going to close another window, and so that we can adhere to the directives under this new legislation.
Obviously, it will be important for us when we work with the Office of Governmental Affairs on the analysis of that bill to do a very, very thorough fiscal analysis of the implications of that piece of legislation.
Judge Herman.
You know, the critical reality, and this gets back to the IMF at this point, the critical reality is we simply need funding for technology at the branch level for those projects that are supported and those projects that assist the trial courts that are of great value to the trial courts, like Lanwin. How can we move forward without a supported land WAN system that's periodically refreshed, upgraded, and maintained? And you know, one light in the governor's budget message was his reference to IMF as being a source for technology. So I don't know how we persuade our friends in the legislature that that's a real focus in terms of our needs.
Judge Ellsworth.
I'm sorry to make another comment, but one of the places that we, Justice Miller and I stopped, and I forget who we were speaking with, but one of the things that we were able to discuss was how Riverside County had gone paperless. So maybe on some small areas that we can encourage all the courts to take steps in which there are great savings from going paperless and sharing the information county to county, so that as we go, and it's not apples and oranges, it's all in the bucket of technology. It's also in our dialogue about operationalizing the cuts, but we were able to do that, and I think that piqued the interest of who we were speaking with. That was like, wow, now how did you do that? And I was able to share what great savings it was to the court. And so I think we do, some of it we can bear some more responsibility and say, all right, here's what we can do in the area of technology. This is what we're really doing. So that it's not always the CCMS, but you did this, but you haven't done this. And so even though it's a little different, I think it's a dialogue worth having.
And Chief, I will just add to that, that Riverside has been really a leader in terms of e-business practices, many of which are low-dollar e-business practices. I mean, obviously, going paperless has its cost factor, so we need that seed money to be able to gain the efficiencies that the governor is looking for and that the legislature is looking for.
Right.
And there is a substantial amount of sharing of that information among the CIO forum and among the CEOs in terms of business efficiency. So that synergy is out there. At this point, we just, again, need some level of funding in order to accomplish the efficiency.
Right, and that's the bright spot, is the work that's been done on technology and the court's innovation. And I know from the AOC point of view, the same is really with the Supreme Court point of view and the Court of Appeal is, and like a few trial courts, we need to get out of furlough first.
Yes.
We're still in furlough.
Right.
And so there is a baseline funding that has to be met before we can even move forward. So this is before the council for, as indicated in the recommendation, for discussion and acceptance, correct?
Yes.
Do I hear a motion for acceptance of this report?
So moved, Chief.
Thank you, Judge Herman.
Second.
Second by Judge Rosenberg. Any further discussion? I know we'll hear more about this, and we'll be getting periodic reports, expecting one in April at our next Judicial Council meeting. Not hearing any further discussion, all in favor to accept the audit report and the report on recommendations and responses, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Recommendation carries. We are thankful for Kurt Soderlund, Mark Dessman, and John Jednick's report.